Radio Network.
All right, over the years, we've had filmmaker Tito Howard on, who is an investigative reporter and made the film Loss of Liberty. We've had with Mr. Howard on some of the survivors of the USS Liberty. And he's really been a focal point in getting a lot of the victims, the heroes, together concerning this subject. And now that a new book came out propagandizing about how it was a big accident by Israel on June 8, 1967, to attack the USS Liberty in international waters and torpedo it and napalm it and white phosphor it and shoot it with cannons and strafe the lifeboats for hours. And when this new book came out, whitewashing it, Captain Ward Boston, who we're getting on the show later this week, senior legal counsel for the Navy's Court of Inquiry into the attack on the Liberty, his statement was read by Rear Admiral Merlin Starring, a former Judge Advocate General of the Navy, following her portions of what he said. We'll go over that. And he also talks about how he was there with LBJ and McNamara and told to cover up the fact that Israel attacked the ship on purpose. And again, we've talked to a lot of the survivors on the show. We're setting them back up for the show to go over this later this week. It's clear that the U.S. government was in control of that ship, knew it was going to happen, and wanted it to be sunk, turned the fighter jets back when the ship called for help, because they wanted that ship to sink, all aboard to be killed, to blame it on Egypt. And we've had the pilots, some of the Israeli pilots have gone public and said that they knew it was an American flag. They radioed back three times and said it's an American ship. We're ordered to still attack it. Once the people finally were rescued and got on board the aircraft carrier, an admiral talked to them and said, if you ever tell anybody what happened, you'll be arrested or worse. And joining us is the documentary filmmaker Tito Howard, who again is lining up for us a bunch of folks. We've had Admiral Moore on before. We've had a bunch of the people on board the ship on the show, but we're going to be having more of them up this week. But somebody who's very articulate, done some of the best research, is Tito Howard, this investigative journalist and the maker of The Loss of Liberty. Thanks for coming on the show, Tito.
Oh, you know, I don't know what you left for me to talk about.
Well, I'm just
good to be back on with you, Alex.
It's great to have you here. And any word yet on what day this week we're going to be able to have some more of the folks on?
Well, no, I'm going to be meeting the admirals tomorrow afternoon and let them know what's happening. These are fighters, but they're older fighters, and I just need to coordinate things smoothly for them. But you and I'll talk about it later this afternoon, perhaps.
What about, absolutely, what about the Captain Boston?
Oh, yes, I think he's critical to this now. He's the news thing. We organized the thing on Capitol Hill at the Rayburn Building as the guest of Congressman John Conyers of Michigan. And we met in the Gold Room in the Rayburn Building. And at that press conference, there was only two. I normally introduce them, but I wanted this just to be the American Navy and the pro-Israeli lobby. And it worked. Moore was terrific, 91 years old. And I filmed it. I'll have some copies ready by Thursday. I'll send you out one because it's powerful. And then having the former Judge Advocate General of the Navy, and who also had very close, insightful knowledge of the Liberty thing, who went on to become, the chief Navy lawyer to the secretary.
That's Rear Admiral Merlin Starring.
That's right. And this man speaks in a very clear, strong voice. And reading Captain Boston's affidavit, we got him to sign it in the form of an affidavit. And this is what made it newsworthy. I knew we had scored when Associated Press on their webpage had this 36-year-old story under latest news. And Ward Boston is the reason for that. Here's a guy who kept silent for 36 years, and now he says that court was ordered by President Johnson and Secretary McNamara to come up with a mistaken identity.
Now, I've got an AP, I've got a Washington Post, I've got a Newsmax article here. According to his quotes, that he was there in the room with Johnson and McNamara telling them, you cover this up. That is massive.
It is massive, yeah. And Isaac Kidd had indicated to some other people, some crew members and others, that it should be investigated more. I think it haunted him. He wound up a four-star admiral and was generally well-liked. I think that was the one stain on him. And, his father was a great American sailor who was killed on the Arizona at Pearl Harbor in 41. And there's so much historicity into this, but Moore raised some very important things that were not in the actual documents. We put together a thing of the findings. These were 12 separate findings that all of the people on this commission signed, with the exception of Ray Davis. He died on September 3rd. He was a four-star Marine general and very critical on some of the findings and other things that we put together. We miss him. And
now, Tito Howard, I want to make it clear, when I do make a mistake, I'm the first to admit it. It's probably been a year since I had you and some of the victims on. You were not on board the ship. You're the investigative journalist we've had. I don't know, I've probably done 5 shows on this. I've probably had a dozen people on over the last 3 or 4 years.
Good.
On this subject. I want to make that clear earlier. But again, later this week, we're going to do probably 2 hours on this and have several of the survivors on. And we've had, again, quite a few over the years. But to hear their firsthand stories of being napalm and white phosphorus and torpedoed. And for those that just joined us, before we get into the findings and what Captain Boston has said on the record, for those that just joined us, what happened to the USS Liberty in 1967?
Well, the Liberty was our best intelligence ship, probably the best in the world. It had a moon bounce dish on the back on a tall structure. It had 8 40-foot whip antennas, totally different with its topside configuration of any ship in the world. And this was perfect weather. The Liberty was under the surveillance of Israeli aircraft 13 different times, starting at 6 in the morning and stopping shortly after noon on the 8th of June. At a little after 2 o'clock, about 2:05, the Liberty was attacked by a total of at least 12 Israeli unmarked aircraft. The only time that I know of where Israeli forces used unmarked aircraft in any of their wars, but they did on the Liberty, which, certainly helps to indicate what kind of an attack it was. Now, the Liberty was pounded for about 25 minutes by these planes. There were probably 8 Mirage 3Es, at the time one of the better combat aircraft in the world. And the second was also French-built, the Super Mystère. Slower, but a much heavier bomb load, and it was the Super Mystères that dropped at least 6 containers of napalm and the white phosphorus, an additional thing of white phosphorus on the ship. And Larry Weaver, one of the survivors who lives now in California, still has to wear white gloves when the phosphorus burns on his hand. It's an outrageous attack. And then the motor torpedo boats arrived at about 2:37, if memory serves me correct. And they fired 6 torpedoes at the Liberty. Only one hit, and that was, this is the Israeli Army and Navy that was very, very highly rated, and the Air Force had done an incredibly powerful job on wiping out the Egyptian Air Force on the ground on the morning of June the 5th. So the Liberty then, while the air attack was going on, the attacking Israeli aircraft were jamming all 5 of our American emergency radio signals. But the crew, incredibly brave, able crew, and of course there's always some that panic under attack situations. Most of these guys had not seen combat, but the main players in it were absolute heroes. And George Golden down in the engine room, and Captain McGonagall on the bridge, and people like Smitty,
there was a 30-foot hole, correct, through both sides?
40 by 42 feet.
Oh, 42 feet, excuse me.
Yeah, and only one of them hit. And the interesting thing about that is...
Wasn't there 700 cannon holes, too?
No, there were 821 cannon and missile holes and over 3,000 holes by armored-piercing 50-caliber machine gun bullets.
Okay, my memory wasn't serving, but you said the interesting part about the torpedo. Go ahead.
Yeah. Was this is why I think that if there ever was divine intervention, this is a good example of it. Here, the crack Israeli military misses in perfect weather on a 460-foot-long ship, misses with five. The one that does hit, it's one of the ribs that holds the superstructure together, and otherwise it would have gone into the ship, exploded, probably blown the ship in half. And so hitting the rib, and not if anyone had hit even another rib or anywhere else, the ship would have gone down. It's a miracle it survived. And we need to think of the geopolitical inference of that, too, because if the Liberty had survived, the Israelis would still be in control of the entire Sinai Peninsula, which would have created serious problems in addition to the ones that are going on.
Now, from having you guys on last time, you all agreed, going from memory here, correct me if I'm wrong, that it was to be blamed on Egypt.
Sure.
And that, again, it was the grace of God that didn't happen, because that would have been World War III with the Russians.
Well, I'm not sure if the Russians would have gambled, but they were getting concerned because they were getting embarrassed. And Syria and Egypt were the two Arab countries where they had, you know, some influence. But we have to remember that just 6 years after this war in 67, that the...
Say what, Tito, stay there. We'll continue to cover this to get in the latest developments and take calls. We're talking about the USS Liberty and the new developments. We'll be right back. Great film, The Loss of Liberty. I'll tell you how to get it later. We're also going to open the phones up later in this hour. The toll-free number to join us, 1-800-259-9231. Later this week, we're going to have some of the survivors back on the show, and hopefully some of the admirals that we haven't had on. We've had Admiral Moore on, as well as Captain Boston, who was involved in the cover-up in the whitewash for Johnston. And his first-hand in the Oval Office testimony that he's now signed in an affidavit. That's why the media cannot ignore it. Tito Howard, there's so many facets to this. I mean, after the attack took place, we're going to get back into the attack. You have the cover-up. You have the people being told you'll be arrested if you tell anybody about this. You have the secret ceremony giving the captain the Congressional Medal of Honor. And then you have people being attacked by the mainstream media, whoever brought up these issues. It's got to really feel good to you and the survivors of the USS Liberty, the heroes, that now the evidence, bombshell evidence, factual evidence from so many high-level officers has now come forward. And so I want to fast forward to where this is going, what's going to happen now. Tito.
Going from two events. We had the one in the Rayburn Building on the 22nd of October. And... that's what got the AP story, UPI story. It was in a lot of newspapers and covered, picked up by a lot of radio talk shows. But it's still alive. And the approach by the pro-Israeli lobby has been to ignore it to death, but they are really scared of this story, because if there ever is an investigation, it'll be very clear that this was premeditated and deliberate. And as Admiral Moore said, very strong voice, this is an ex-chairman of our Joint Chiefs of Staff and probably the greatest living American admiral. He said, why would our government put Israel's interests above our own? Somebody's going to have to answer that old admiral one of these days.
Well, look, we know the U.S. government, the British government, the Chinese government, they do bad things, and it's okay to criticize them. But when you get into Israel, they try to paint anybody as, you know, a wicked devil who does this, but they're going to have trouble with all these heroes and after they've engaged in this cover-up. But again, expanding this discussion, it's obvious the U.S. government had taken control of that ship, the presidency had, the Joint Chiefs of Staff. It's obvious they turned the jets back. and from past discussions, would you agree, Tito, that it's clear that they wanted that ship to go down? This was part of a larger plan to have the pretext to blame it on Egypt?
I think that that's true, and one of the real evidences of that is that the Israelis attacked the ship with unmarked planes. The people on board the Liberty, being pounded from all these different directions, couldn't see any insignia or national identification. So if the Liberty didn't know, how did Washington know to force the recall of planes sent to help Americans in trouble? And after the heroes on board the USS Liberty, and there were many, the first American hero not on board was Joe Tully, the skipper of the Saratoga. We had two large carriers with the Sixth Fleet in 67, the Saratoga and the American. And they immediately launched. By immediately, I mean within 8 or 9 minutes from getting the call through from the Liberty. And the Liberty guys, the radio men, Rocky Sturman, Terry Halbardier, and others, Oliphant, there were some really smart people that figured out that the attacking Israeli aircraft were jamming all five of the emergency American signals. And but that when they were firing missiles, they had to, you know, cut the thing that was jamming it because it would have prematurely triggered the missiles. It was in that little tiny window that they got through to the Saratoga and later to the America, and the Saratoga launched. And those planes were called back, although the Liberty was still under attack. And that's when the second great hero, not counting the men on the ship, Admiral Larry Geis, who was the carrier division commander, not in tactical command of the Sixth Fleet, that was Admiral Martin. But he would not go along with the order to recall. And so first McNamara called, and we just got this interview with a Mr. Hart, who was in the Port Leoti, Morocco, and had the responsibility to connect and keep on the line Secretary McNamara and Carrier Division Commander Geis. And Geis was refusing to recall the planes because he said, but the Liberty's still under attack. If the attack stops, we'll recall them. And McNamara insisted. And then Geis just wouldn't go for it. And then McNamara said, we're not going to war over a bunch of dead sailors. Imagine how that would play in the Navy.
McNamara needs to be arrested right now.
It's outrageous.
He's an absolute piece of trash. These are new developments with Tito Howard. These are signed affidavits. We'll be back with more of these bombshell revelations.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Again, my friends, we've had Tito Howard, investigative journalist, researcher, and many of the victims, the heroes of the USS Liberty dastardly attack of 1967 during the Six-Day War. On the show, we're going to do a couple more hours on this later this week with some of the admirals and captains and others that have been blowing the whistle and some of the survivors. I want to get a bunch of these folks on, and we're setting that up right now. But there have now been new developments, and in these new developments, we don't just have the evidence of the unmarked planes attacking and then strafing the people and the lifeboats in the water and the assault helicopters coming with the special forces to finish off the job and finally turning back. And now we have radio operator connecting McNamara's phone call in with one of the admirals who was refusing to turn back the aircraft. We also have Captain Boston, who was in the White House during the whitewash when LBJ and McNamara said, cover this up. Tito Howard, let's continue with these new revelations. Where you left off, recapping that and then continuing it, this is an amazing development.
Oh, it is indeed.
I'm
sorry, Alex. The one thing is that didn't happen in the White House. It happened in Malta, in Naples. It happened on board the Liberty. The Liberty from the 8th to the 13th was limping at 5 knots to get the Malta to get into dry dock and get, you know, repaired. And that's when he had those contacts with, Admiral Kidd, who was the president of the Navy Board of Inquiry.
No, well, I'm talking.
Power, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, I'm mixing two different instances together. Because we got cut off in the break. You were talking, Tito Howard. You were discussing the radio transmission during the attack from McNamara to the admiral.
Yeah, Larry Geist, the carrier division commander. And it's interesting because Geist never did agree to do that from McNamara, and the commander in the field, if he doesn't agree with an order, has the right to ask the next higher up. Well, after the Secretary of Defense, it's the President. And that's when Johnson got on and also got mad with Geist, and he yelled at him, says, I don't care if the ship sinks and lose all hands, we're not going to embarrass our ally Israel.
All right, let me stop you right there, because we got interrupted by a break. I want you to start back over, because this is so important, Tito.
It is.
With the ships under attack, the radio operators figure out that they're being jammed, but that they have to turn off the powerful jamming transmission to fire their missiles, because that could interfere with it. Let's start over from there. They get the distress signal out. What happens next?
Okay, Joe Tully, the skipper of the Saratoga, launches. And Don Engen was the skipper of the America. He was Captain Engen in those days. He retired as a two-star admiral. I knew him when he was the director of the Air and Space Museum in Washington. Very bright guy. But he had it wrong on Liberty, and I just slowly turned him in the first three meetings we had. And I was going to do an interview with him on August 8th, a couple of years ago. And he was killed in a glider crash in Nevada 3 weeks before. Anyway, let me get back to the other, because the breaking thing is important. Here is Ward Boston, who had an exemplary career in the Judge Advocate General Corps. And we have Merlin Starring, the only other high Navy legal official, who was the chief legal officer for Admiral John Sidney McCain, Jr., the Commander-in-Chief U.S. Navy Europe, which encompassed the Mediterranean. And who had overall, and he's the senator's father.
Yeah, that's John McCain's daddy.
That's right, John Sidney McCain, Jr. So he was a great admiral in a lot of ways, but he got caught up in the political thing here. And, you know, trying to cover up. And my favorite line in my film, I wrote at 3 o'clock in the morning, in the doctor, Richard Kiefer, who was an incredibly tough and brave man in 1967. And... The ability to get that much power on a ship and have the ship survive just spoiled a lot of people's plans. But now we have Ward. Oh, no, wait a minute. The line I was going to give, because it's a powerful line. And I wrote it at 3 in the morning. And what the line was, never before in American military history has a military board of inquiry, nor the eyewitness testimony of American military, and taken on faith the word of their attackers. And Dr. Kiefer delivers it in the film, I think, very well. So we've got a lot of things. But now to get back to Ward Boston, let me just read, if you'll give me a couple of minutes to read, just a couple of quotes from this affidavit, which is the news-breaking thing. All right. I know from personal conversations I had with Admiral Kidd that President Lyndon Johnson and Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara ordered him to conclude that the attack was a case of mistaken identity, despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary. So, and he says, it is important for the American people to know that it is clear that Israel is responsible for deliberately attacking an American ship and murdering American sailors. And so, incredible breakthrough that this guy would say this 36 years later. And a pro-Israeli a retired Navy captain, Jay Crystal, wrote this book, which is a total whitewash and infuriated this guy. I saw Captain Boston back in February, and I have him on film saying these things. So, I mean, we'll save it for posterity. And to have the man who was in London at the time and the chief Navy legal advisor to Admiral McCain, to come out for and read it and talk about. He was taken out of the whole loop of judicial review, which is almost unheard of in the Navy, because, in his words, he was having serious problems with the evidentiary support of the findings of fact of the findings of fact of the Navy Board of Inquiry. That's powerful stuff. And we did that on Capitol Hill in the main congressional office building. And then last Wednesday, Admiral Starring and I spoke to the Exchange Club in Washington, D.C. in the U.S. Senate. And they're all admirals and generals that I met in that group. So we have some real momentum, and I'm glad, Alex, that you're picking it up with the same insightful coverage that you did before. And I think we and your people should, the ones that don't have a copy of the film, just write to Liberty Alliance, Box 663, Front Royal, Virginia, 22630. They're $25 a piece, but they're $50 for three. So, and then you get the findings, and there's also the 20 most commonly asked questions about the USS Liberty, and we send all of that in the package. And I would also recommend that people, because ultimately we're going to have to win this information battle in the trenches, which means American Legion Post, VFW Post, Veterans for Peace, and get them committed, because this is a story a long time ago, and when Admiral Starring and I spoke at the Exchange Club on Capitol Hill last Wednesday, it was amazing to me. I'm standing up there talking to these people. They're believing us because it's blessed by Admiral Moore, and they all know who he is, and he's greatly admired by all military people that I've talked to. And here's Merlin Starring, an ex-JAG, and they're reading the thing from Captain Boston. They believed it, but they didn't know the truth. I'm talking about admirals, you know. It's amazing how this cover-up has worked so well for so long with the complete complicity of the American media.
Now, Tito Howard, we're going to give that address out again before this hour ends. Folks, get ready with a pen and paper for that. It's a great film. We've aired it here locally on cable more than a dozen times. It's one of the most popularly requested items that we do air here routinely on Time Warner Cable Channel 10 and 16. But before we go to Darren and Mike and others that are patiently holding, and the toll-free number to join us is 1-800-259-9231, we got interrupted by that break 12 minutes ago, and that was so important, what you were getting into with the gentleman relaying the call, listening to the call from McNamara, and then LBJ getting on the phone during the attack, telling the admiral, you turned that second group of planes back. Can you recap that and go over that? Because you were still talking when we hit the break.
Yes, no, because it is a critical part of the story, and the part that has Moore and some of these admirals most upset. I mean, here, to use Admiral Moore's words, he said, those sailors and Marines, there were three Marines on Liberty, two of them were killed. He said, those sailors and Marines deserved our best defense. And we gave them no defense. That's powerful from next chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
Well, we lost his phone line. And that happens sometimes. Are you back, Tito? Well, we're going to get him back. That happens a lot with these type of interviews. Oh, boy. And let me just read what Captain Boston. The most stunning revelation was a statement by Captain Ward Boston, the senior legal counsel for the Navy's Court of Inquiry into the attack on Liberty. This statement was read by Rear Admiral Merlin Starring, a former judge advocate general of the Navy, following reports of what he read. This is right next door to the Capitol. The late Admiral Isaac Kidd and I were given only 1 week to gather evidence for the Navy's official investigation. Despite the short amount of time we were given, we gathered a vast amount of evidence, including hours of heartbreaking testimony from the young survivors. The evidence was clear. Both Admiral Kidd and I believe with certainty that this attack, which killed 34 sailors and injured 172 others, was a deliberate effort to sink an American ship and murder its entire crew. I am certain that the Israeli pilots that undertook the attack, as well as their superiors, who had ordered the attack were aware the ship was American. I saw our flag, which was visibly identified. The ship is American, riddled with bullet holes, and heard testimony that made it clear that the Israelis intended that there be no survivors. Not only did the Israelis attack the ship for over 2 hours with napalm, gunfire, and hundreds of rockets and missiles, Israeli torpedo boats with machine guns, three lifeboats that had been launched in an attempt to save the crew, a war crime. After saying he was moved to speak out after the book titled The Liberty Incident by Jay Crystal, he described it as an attempt to whitewash the facts. He then dropped a bombshell saying, I have firsthand knowledge from many personnel. Again, I have firsthand knowledge from many personal conversations with Admiral Kidd, the President Lyndon Johnson, and Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara personally ordered him to cover up the true facts of and conclude that the attack was a case of mistaken identity despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary. Again, LBJ also rescinded an order to send carrier-based fighter planes that were only 15 minutes away to defend the Liberty. Now, we've got Mr. Tito Howard, the filmmaker, researcher, back on. Tito, let's get this out again. During the attack, McNamara, LBJ, on the phone with the Admiral, out there in the Mediterranean, from Washington, and you have witnesses that were transferring the call, listening to it in Navy intelligence. You have these witnesses.
I have it on film.
You have it on film even.
Yeah.
Repeat.
In February, I'm going to be putting together a new version of the film with Captain Boston and this man, Hart.
Okay, well, repeat what Hart heard McNamara and LBJ say about that ship.
Okay. He only heard the conversation between McNamara and Larry Geis. Geis is the real hero in all of this. He and Joe Tully of the Saratoga.
Okay, what conversation was it where LBJ says, I don't care?
That was later because Admiral Geis, the carrier division commander, had the right to challenge an order to the next higher up. That's when Lyndon Johnson got on the phone.
Okay, let's make this clear then. Go through that chain of events, please.
Okay, the first contact went through Port Leoti because that handled from the Pentagon where McNamara was. So then Johnson came through, and that was routed some other way. So the same person did not hear both conversations. That conversation was told to David Lewis, who was the chief American intelligence officer on board Liberty. That was our most sophisticated intelligence ship. And he had two-thirds of the people on board Liberty were intelligence people, mostly Navy, but three Marines and one civilian, and so they were. You've got the first conversation. We have the guy on film who did that. The second conversation, David Lewis was Commander Lewis at the time and the Chief Intelligence Officer, and he was the highest ranking of the most. Seriously wounded, which were medevaced on the morning of the 9th from the Liberty about 8:30 to 9 o'clock to the America, which had they had more doctors. And although Dr. Kiefer was still going, the man had badly damaged legs, 11 pieces of shrapnel in his abdomen, which he kept together with a life jacket. The man stood on those legs and operated for 28 hours, and nobody's ever heard of him till our film. Anyway, then Johnson calls him, but through another routing, and it was Larry Geis telling this to David Lewis, and so it was David Lewis who waited until Admiral Geis died, and then he told that, and so that's the second. In that conversation, Johnson was getting mad at this guy because he was refusing the President of the United States, who was trying to recall the planes. Although how the hell did we know that it was Israelis at that time, you know, with unmarked planes? The Liberty didn't know it.
And they're saying we're not going to embarrass our allies.
That's right. He said, I don't care if the ship sinks and we lose all hands. We're not going to war and embarrass an ally. I mean, it's outrageous. You know, it's like his Gulf of Tonkin Vietnam stuff. And just as deadly on a smaller scale. I mean, there were 70% casualties on the Liberty. It's the most decorated crew in the history of the United States. And the guys themselves have been battered all these years. Government turned their back on them. They were incredible heroes at the time. And, they're on, some of them have heavy antidepressant drugs. Some of them even drink on things. I mean, it's terrible what's happened to these great American heroes. And I've worked closely with him for a long time, and it's difficult. It's very difficult, and you have to understand things from their perspective.
Now, going back to the first conversation with McNamara, calling back the aircraft, again, how did that take place?
No, McNamara, that was the first conversation, because Larry Geis had also launched, well, this time we already have 12 planes and four A4, gasoline-equipped A4s, because it was very far away, and in combat they burned.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. So he, McNamara was trying to get Larry Geis to recall him, and Geis never did agree to do it. He insisted on speaking to President Johnson, who was the next higher up. And even he was arguing with Johnson after that. And then Johnson said, I don't care, you know, if the ship sinks, we lose all hands. He's not going to embarrass his
ally. I mean, look at this. We've got the president and the defense secretary managing this as the ship's under attack, and then the ship doesn't get aid until the next morning.
That's correct.
When we come back, I want to go to Darren and Mike and others that are patiently holding. And I want to go over the machine gunning of the lifeboats. That's important. And then what happened in the whitewash afterwards. Stay with us. Here, and our guest is going to stay another 30 minutes into the next hour, so we have time to get to Darren and Mike and Elizabeth and Peter and Roger and others. Why is this story 36 years later such a big deal? Because in Operation Northwoods, the 1962 plan by L.L. Lemitzer, it calls for blowing up U.S. ships and blaming it on foreign enemies. It calls for hijacking jets by remote control and crashing them to create a helpful wave of national indignation. It calls for killing Marines with U.S. Army dressed up like foreign troops. We saw the Gulf of Tonkin. The attack never took place in 64. This was a government plan being carried out. From all the evidence, it's clear, within minutes of the attack, they're on the phone, they're on the radio, and the radio's patched in from the aircraft carriers, to the defense secretary and the president, and they're saying, you don't defend that ship, that's Israel. With unmarked planes, something Israel doesn't do. This is a big, big deal, folks. People say, oh, the government couldn't have allowed September 11th to take place. That's hogwash. You look at the evidence, it's obvious. The PNAC plan, written up by Cheney and Wolfowitz and Pearl and Jeb Bush, halls for terrorist attacks, says we need these to get people behind this new world order. So you start adding all this together, it's very, very, very serious. Before we go back to Tito Howard and tell you how to get his great film, we need you to spread the word about this broadcast, to tell 10 people a day about this show so we can reach millions more people. And we need you to get Matrix of Evil, my new film with Congressman Ron Paul, Congresswoman McKinney, Frank Morales on the police state, Colonel Craig Roberts, myself. It's a great new film exposing what the New World Order is doing today using terrorism to scare us into submission. So get Matrix of Evil, $25.95. Order three or more of any of my 10 videos. They drop down to $20 a piece. The new book, Ordered Out of Chaos, is out. You really need to get it as well. Go to Infowars.com. Go to PrisonPlanet.com. Order the videos. Call toll-free to get them. 1-888-253-3139. Your purchase of these videos also makes this show possible, so it's very important you do that. But number one, whether it's 9/11 Road to Tyranny, Masters of Terror, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, Matrix of Evil, they're waking people up. And as a caveat to that, we have a 10-minute teaser from the 2-hour and 40-minute Police State 3 Total Enslavement now on Infowars.com for free download. So definitely email that out to folks and let people know it's available. So again, 888-253-3139, or just write to me, Alex Jones, at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. Get my videos, folks. Get them out to people. Make copies of them. Now, we're about to break. I promise we'll go straight to Dean and Darren, Mike, Elizabeth, Peter, Roger, everybody. But in the next minute and a half, Tito Howard, and your film's incredible, how do folks get the video, Loss of Liberty, to know the truth? As you said, in this information war, how do they do that?
Well, we're over the 8,000 mark in copies of the film that television, except for community access and other limited things, has been absolutely deaf to us. And but it's working. I mean, these recent events has really helped a lot.
This story won't be told unless listeners take action and get this video.
And particularly with friends that were in the military or understand the military.
Tell folks the mailing address.
All patriots, it's outrageous that our government would protect the attackers that killed 34
Americans. Give them the mailing address. We got 30 seconds.
Okay, it is the Liberty Alliance, Box 663, Front Royal, Virginia. It's $25 for one copy, $50 for three. We pay the shipping. And you make checks payable to Howard Films.
All right, Howard Films. We'll get that out again before you leave us. Third hour, your calls, and more on the Liberty when we get back.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides...
Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, my friends, we've got Tito Howard, the documentary filmmaker, investigative journalist, PhD in modern military affairs and history. And later this week, we're going to have... Captain Boston, who was involved with the cover-up under orders from LBJ and others, coming on. We're going to line up some admirals and hopefully some of the survivors that we've had on in years past. Now it's broken big news because such big guns in government are telling the truth about it. And again, Tito Howard, kicking off this investigative report, because we're going to do several of these this week, is joining us. We've got loaded phone lines, a lot of patient listeners. 1967, during the Six-Day War, June 8, 1967, over a dozen Israeli fighter bombers, six attack torpedo boats, attacked the ship. By the grace of God, it didn't sink. Most highly decorated, highest number of casualties in U.S. History for any one ship and one attack. The captain was given the Congressional Medal of Honor in secret, and now the cover-up's coming out. But the bigger cover-up is that the U.S. government controlled that ship, meant to sink it, to blame it on Egypt. And I've talked to the survivors, Tito Howard, the admirals on the show. I've been talking about this for 4 or 5 years, I guess. They agree this is part of a New World Order takeover system, basically government-sponsored terrorism. It's the same M.O. over and over again. Tito, you ready to go to some of these calls? Great, let's do it. Let's talk to Darren in Colorado. Darren, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
I'd like to wish you both a wonderful day, and it's a privilege to be here with you. I am usually in lockstep with the views you espouse, Alex, but I got to take issue with this one. My rudimentary knowledge of the attack on the USS Liberty is that it was our highest technologically advanced surveillance ship of the day. And what they were doing were monitoring the Israeli army's communications, and they were beaming those to the Arab assailants against Israel.
That's just not true. That's just not true. The Liberty was there to monitor everything in the Middle East. We were not taking sides in the conflict, certainly not openly. But there is strong feelings that there are people inside our government that helped set the Liberty up, as Alex had mentioned. But this argument has been used a lot to denigrate the argument of this brave crew.
Well, let me ask the caller a question. Let me ask the caller a question. So is it good that they didn't allow the planes to go defend it? Is it good they strafed the lifeboats in the water because this would have, because they were, quote, helping the Arabs?
My understanding.
So now Americans come second. Okay, I got you.
My understanding is that the Israelis' hand was forced because they needed to knock that ship out. And their only aim was to disable its monitoring capability, not to sink it, not to kill America.
That's why you shoot it with a torpedo and blow a 42-foot hole in it and have thousands of cannon holes.
And a 2-hour and 15-minute attack. No,
and then I guess striping the lifeboats is to stop them from using a ham radio to warn the Arabs.
I mean, even this heartstring tugging rehashment of all the survivors, just the fact that there are all these survivors gives credence to my contention.
The highest casualties per capita ever. What are you?
70% casualties, man, and we never, I think it's important for this gentleman to understand that on the 8th of June, all the fighting was done. The Israelis had won the war actually by the evening of the 6th, and they realized that if you took all of the Arab military from Morocco to Kuwait, at that point in history, they could defeat him.
Hey, I tell you
but
what.
But they did not yet have the Golan Heights.
Got a break. I tell you what, stay there, Darren, okay? Are you there, buddy? Okay, Darren, don't hang up. I want to talk to you on the other side. I mean, you talk about psychological gymnastics to make excuses for this. But I guess you're not saying that the Liberty wasn't intentionally attacked. Now it's because their hands were tied.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, later this week, we have a bunch of the survivors of the USS Liberty. We have some of the officers involved in the cover-up under Johnson's orders who talked to him. And all these years, we have the filmmaker, Tito Howard, been researching this for years, on with us, Loss of Liberty filmmaker, and we got loaded phones, we're about to go back to your calls. All these years, oh no, Israel didn't know, it was a mistake identity, it's a conspiracy theory to say that. Now the people involved in the cover-up have gone forward with incredible honor. And so this caller, Darren, says, well, the Israelis had their hand forced. As the war was ending, to go ahead and try to sink this ship. No, they didn't try to sink it. I guess that's why they strafed the lifeboats. The psychological gymnastics of rationalizing this, it's like rationalizing Bill Clinton bombing Oklahoma City or the connections with the U.S. government and al-Qaeda. I mean, we've had Israeli writers on to talk about the Israeli government killing Yitzhak Rabin, I guess. Can Israel do something wrong? I focus mainly on the U.S. government using Israel to do this, to expand the war into Egypt, which they wanted to do. That's what the evidence shows. But, Darren, to have you here defending this atrocity and saying, oh, that's why there wasn't that many casualties, when it's record casualties, and talking about heartstrings here, and the admiral threatening the sailors on board the ship, keep your mouth shut or you're going to prison, go ahead, defend yourself, Darren. I'm amazed by your statements.
Well, we may have lost Darren, but let me just say this.
Well, hold on. Is Darren not there?
I'm right here.
Go ahead, Darren. Talk.
The Jews, when you do the math, should have lost that war. They did everything they had to do to win, and even to this day, it's a miracle they overcame the numbers they were up against.
No.
So LBJ saying, I don't care if they all die, so what? That's a good thing?
They needed to do what they had to do.
There was no military necessity for the Israelis to do anything.
Wait a minute, I thought it was an accident.
Hold on.
Israel always said it was an accident. Are you saying they're lying?
I'm saying that both governments sought to let this thing stay underneath a rug.
Why didn't they just pull the ship out? That's ridiculous. The White House knew it was Israel attacking it. Why didn't they just pull the ship out of there? That's the president. They wanted to sink that ship to blame it on Egypt.
The Americans were helping the Arabs. That's what that ship was doing.
No, that's not true.
I've talked to people. We were shipping the Israelis all the weapons. That's insane.
Well, we weren't sending that many weapons at that time. They're mostly dependent on French weapons. But it is very true that we knew that there would be an Israeli victory. It wasn't a surprise. And they wiped out 80% of the Egyptian Air Force on the ground, the same numbers that we lost at Pearl with the non-carrier Pacific Fleet. We lost 80%. The war was over, except that the Israelis wanted the Golan Heights and all of the West Bank, which they took.
I am by no means a scholar on this subject.
Well, it don't pick up on Israeli spin because they're the best in the world at it. The truth is that was premeditated and deliberate, and I came upon this very honestly because I was told that by Admiral Thomas Moore in 1975, and that it was a premeditated and deliberate attack, and that was 5 months after he stepped down from being chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Like when I
in my film, Daryl, have you seen the film?
What film?
My film, The Loss of Liberty.
No, sir, I have not.
Well, you should order a copy of the film and then present the argument. I've got Arleigh Burke in there. You remember the USS Cole that was attacked by terrorists in Yemen in October of 2000?
Yes, sir, I do.
That was one of 12 Arleigh E. Burke class of destroyers. That's how big a man he was to the Navy in this country. And he calls it an act of war and a deliberate attack. I've got 6 Medal of Honor heroes in that film. General Ray Davis, a 4-star Marine General, Medal of Honor from the Chosen Reservoir.
Tito, let me ask this question. Because it's admitted that the Israelis strafed with the gunboats the life rafts. Why'd they do that?
No, the gunboats did, not the airplanes. I mean,
they said gunboats.
Yes, yes.
Why?
Well, because they didn't want any survivors. That's why later on there were 2 large Israeli helicopters, and one of the crew members took a photo of one of them, and I had the thing blown up, and that's when we discovered that it was first attacked by the Israeli Air Force, then by the Israeli Navy. These 2 helicopters were Israeli Army Commando helicopters, had 18 heavily armed men on, and they were sent there to finish it off.
Why did they turn back?
Because they picked up that American forces were finally on the way. It wasn't true, but it worked. It's an absolute miracle that ship survived. And the problem in the Middle East, as far as the American people is concerned, is that there is absolutely no causal relationship, no cause and effect for the things that Israel does. We just passed the 20th anniversary of 243 Marines, later 268 total, some dying from wounds, in Beirut, Lebanon. Our Marines would not have even been there if the Israelis had not lied to our government, saying they were going to go 20 kilometers into southern Lebanon, and they said they would not go to Beirut. They went to Beirut, an Arab capital.
I don't want to divert off into other subjects. We know.
Yeah, but it's the same thing.
Let me just stop you. We got a bunch of calls, Tito. I really appreciate you. Darren, any final comments?
When I first sought to educate myself on this subject, I listened to talk radio, and I called a couple prominent radio talk shows, and I found it to be such a contentious issue that they wouldn't allow the format on the air, the subject matter on the air.
Yeah.
When I was able to get people to engage me on it, my main references come from a writer named John Loftus.
John who?
John Loftus. And he wrote a book
sir,
called...
all we're doing is going off the admirals and the captain of the ship and the witnesses and what's admitted. And I appreciate the call. We got to go to other callers. You need to get informed, sir.
Order the film.
Look, I'll criticize Germany. I'll criticize England. I'll criticize the U.S. government. I'll criticize Israel. I'll criticize anybody that does something wrong. I stand up against evil activities. And this was evil, leaving our men out there to die. And the real culprits here, even bigger than Israel, is LBJ and that Turkey McNamara and all the rest of them. Let's go to Mike in Arizona. Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Howard, Alex.
Right.
I was just amazed listening to the former apologist for Israel. But, you know, sadly, I think much of what he was saying comes right out of the pulpit of many of the evangelical churches in this country. This Israel worship is what it amounts to.
Yeah.
That says that we must bless Israel by turning a blind eye to every crime they commit. And I don't think that's what the Bible teaches. I mean, I know it doesn't teach that. But
that's what Jesus was doing when he was there criticizing the corruption of the establishment. I mean, all these governments. The Bible says the devil has the whole world in his sway, and let's go off the Bible. If the Antichrist is going to go take over Israel, we're going to be told to worship the Antichrist? I mean, this is ridiculous, but my whole point here is we have the facts of the USS Liberty. and people are still in denial about government-sponsored terrorism.
Yeah, for him to suggest that, well, look at how many survivors there were. Only two-thirds of them had injuries or were killed. It's like saying, look at all the survivors the Jewish survivors from World War II. Well, there couldn't have been any atrocities committed against the Jews.
No, it's just as callous as that is, you know.
Yeah, but let me ask you, there are a couple of serious questions I had. At what stage of the Arab-Israeli war was the attack on the Liberty? Was it toward the beginning of the war?
Oh, no, the beginning of the war was the wee hours of June the 5th. The Israelis attacked in force. The Egyptians had been told earlier that day that there would not be a war, so they were sort of relaxed, and the Israelis knew it. The Israelis claimed that the Israelis had moved armor and infantry out of the Sinai into the Negev desert. It was a lie, and nobody's challenged that except some in the UN, but certainly not in our government. So they, under the guise of that excuse, wiped out 80% of the Egyptian Air Force. At that point, the war was really over. There's some cleanup stuff, and if you remember, the genesis of the 67 war had to do with the closing of the Gulf of Aqaba through the Straits of Tiran near Sharm el-Sheikh.
Right.
And Newtant, who was then the UN guy, he ordered under Nasser's thing. Nasser wanted to pull back, I think it was 20 kilometers or whatever it was then. And we told him, no, just take him out of Sinai, and that laid the groundwork. So we do not have very clean hands in that. And one has to remember that 6 years later, we were helping Israel so much that the Arabs made an oil embargo against us and Western Europe and everybody else, and it destroyed literally thousands of American companies.
We got to move on. Anything else there, Mike?
Yeah, Alex. By the way, our policy changed dramatically when Kennedy was assassinated and Johnson took over.
Absolutely.
Suddenly this big opened up wide.
From white to black.
Did Israel ever fly combat missions against any of the Arab states without identification markings?
Never that I know of, except in this case.
Just this case.
That's my understanding.
And the Joint Chiefs of Staff had taken specific control of that ship weeks before this happened and had it parked out there under their control, correct, Tito?
That's correct. And there were three messages that were sent by the JCS, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to the Liberty, and this is part of what Alex was referring to earlier, the setup of the Liberty, because the Joint Chiefs of Staff was trying to get the Liberty to move further offshore because it was getting through some of its intelligence in Tel Aviv and some other places that the Israelis were contemplating an attack on the Liberty. But all three of those messages got misrouted. One went to Port Laoudi in Morocco, one went to Crete, and one went to Subic Bay, our big Navy base at that time in the Philippines.
Folks,
and none of them reached the Liberty until after the attack. That's outrageous.
We got a break. It's obvious, folks. Again, get past Israel, get past all this stuff. The United States government was doing this and controlling this. Do you understand that? To blame it on Egypt to expand the war, the Northwoods plan being activated. That's exactly what the Northwoods plan calls for, sinking a ship and blaming it on someone. We'll be back with more calls. Sponsored terror is the norm, not the exception. And the evidence is crystal clear and hardcore that the Israeli and U.S. governments were trying to sink that ship to blame it on Egypt. And, I mean, it just shows the delusional nature with that caller, Darren, earlier. Darren, I'm not your enemy. I mean, you sounded like a nice guy. You know, saying, well, you know, they just wanted to break the antennas and shows a low level of casualties. It's record casualties for a single ship. I mean, it just, everything you said goes against the facts here. We're talking to Tito Howard, filmmaker. We're going to have some of the survivors on later this week with Tito. Elizabeth and Marilyn, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alex. This is really four-star radio investigative journalism. And I'm very grateful to you and Tito Howard. I look forward to the continuing series. If you recall, about 3 weeks ago, I phoned you that I was going to start a radio show on 840 WKDI in Annapolis. And it's on Fridays for a half hour after your show.
One of our great affiliates, God bless them. Go ahead.
Yes. And I think that you've inspired me quite a bit, that this is the same wheel of evil that you've described there in the way you said that the precedents were set for the future, provocateur and terrorism incidents, and like the Northwoods plan. And I think it's almost like a perfect closure today, Alex. Here's the U.S. Liberty, and I'm going to, on Veterans Day, I'm going to ask people to write to Ron Paul and the Liberty Committee and to all other legislators and fax them and telephone them. And the reason is, the latest understandings that I have on the Universal National Service Act, not just the draft, and the bill is H.R. 163 in the House, and in the Senate it is 89. That's 163, H.R., and Senate 89.
Now, that's accurate. I have that in Police State 3. Universal draft for everybody, 18 to 49, for domestic service corps. Tito Howard, comments to what she's saying.
Well, I'm very interested in what the lady said. And the only chance to get the truth out against a very powerful force like the pro-Israeli lobby in this country is through radio programs, community access television, because the mainstream media just won't be nudged. We had a breakthrough meeting on Capitol Hill, followed by another meeting at an important group, the Exchange Club in the U.S. Senate. The mainstream newspapers have not picked it up. There should be op-ed pieces. There should be, debates. There should be all this stuff. But, we are so committed to the interests of Israel that we tend not to pay much attention to our own interests and what the tremendous cost
is. On Veterans Day, we've got witnesses, high-level officers, saying Johnson said, "I don't care if they all die." That's wrong, folks. U.S. troops come first. And again, this is our own government carrying out Northwoods. Thanks for the call, Elizabeth.
And could I add one more thing?
Real quick, there's other callers.
All right, great. I think the rubber is meeting the road, that if we don't complain now, we are not going to have our liberties, because the only reason we will have any armed forces, it'll be to maintain internal order here as part of the UN Peace Force.
That's it. Thanks for the call. And notice the symbology. The USS Liberty attack, and today we see government-sponsored terror being used as a way to attack our real liberties. It's out
that's
of control.
Alex, that's why I named the film The Loss of Liberty, because it means both.
We're going to plug after this break real quick, how to get the video again. Peter in Florida, you're on the air, and then Roger. That's it for calls. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, hi, Alex. Got a question for Howard. On the 15 hours after the attack, that none of our fleet out there went to help them or rescue them. I believe there was one Russian ship that pulled up and asked if they wanted assistance, and they
That's
said
correct.
No.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, was there any radio communication going on during that 15 hours, like calling for help or
you know, anything? Well, there was communication after the attack was finally called off at about 4:27. So it was a 2-hour and 15-minute attack.
And, of course, those Russians wanted that secret transmission system.
Yeah, and Russian trawlers also tracked the Liberty all the way to Malta, hoping to get some papers or stuff float by them.
Maybe a status report on the condition of the ship, so they would know how to play it out later or something. On May 14th, a bunch of admirals and went down to Washington D.C. for a news conference to try to address the Congress to put the pressure on. Do you remember that?
May 14th.
Yeah, May 14th of last year, I think.
Oh no, I know what that was. No, that was. Our announcement that the film was done and the formulation of the Liberty Alliance with Moore as the chairman, that was done in the Army-Navy Club and well attended.
We got a break again. Do a few more minutes with Tito. Take a final call from Roger. Now I'm going to shift gears.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
Coming up, U.S. blocks payout to Gulf War veterans. Bush administration has blocked compensation for U.S. soldiers captured and tortured during the first Gulf War, arguing the money is now needed for Iraq's reconstruction. That's from London Guardian. Also, mystery illness causing major U.S. troop casualties. Army orders mother of seven back to duty in Iraq. Not enough troops for Veterans Day parades today. Also, martial law to be declared in London. No one's allowed to protest Lord Bush when he comes to town. Plan for UN to run internet will be shelved, at least for now. That's good news. Jessica Lynch to be supposedly naked in Hustler magazine, so that's just classic. It's a lot of key stuff coming up here in about 5-10 minutes. I appreciate Tito Howard coming on. It's been an interesting show. We're going to have him back up with some of the officers involved in the whitewash that have now gone public because of their conscience, and some of the survivors later this week, Thursday or Friday. We should another 2 hours on it. But again, I'm no enemy of Israel, folks. I'm no enemy of Germany, of England, of the U.S. government. They're bad people carrying out acts of terror against their own citizens. To blame it on foreign enemies as a pretext for war, you better start figuring this out, folks. That's what we're focusing on. Before we go to a final call, Tito, any other key points you want to add here?
Well, I think that we need to really harness the momentum coming out of these admirals and Navy JAG officers that have stepped up after all this time, and we need to give very strong support for this crew that's somehow kept up the fight all these years.
That, according to an earlier caller, needed to go ahead and die.
Well, that's outrageous. I mean, people have been brainwashed, so they're very sympathetic to anything the Israelis do, and the comment about the evangelicals is unfortunately true. And I know some, and they're awfully good people, some very good citizens. But on this issue, it's very, very dangerous for the future of this country and Israel,
well,
and
look,
certainly for Jerusalem.
Well, look, DynCorp, a U.S. company, nothing to do with Israel, got caught kidnapping 200,000 women and children, and along with the U.S. government and the U.N., and that's mainstream news. Then I cover what 60 Minutes has, Israel having these big slave brothels of kidnapped women and children. I've exposed Saudi Arabia, too. Why is it okay when I expose Saudi Arabia or Bosnia or DynCorp, but I talk about Israel? Oh, no, they can't do anything wrong.
I know. It's outrageous. It's like they're above the law, and that's what's happened here. We live in a society that's democratic and based on the rule of law, and we place the Israelis above the law. There's many instances and proofs of that, but I think the most blatant is the attack on the liberty.
Well, it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger says he loves Hitler, and the Simon Wiesenthal Center endorses him, and then you're a Nazi if you're against Nazis. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and put up with this. It's like when Israel said, we'll kill U.S. citizens without a trial in the U.S., and the FBI says, no comment. That's Reuters, folks.
It's absolutely bad. It's awful. Really, so.
But it's the same thing with the liberty. But again, it's bigger than Israel, from all the evidence and the survivors and the people have agreed, you've agreed, that the U.S. government was orchestrating this. Final call, Roger in Pennsylvania, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks, gentlemen. And, just before my real question, I just wanted to respond to Darren in this vein. And it seems to me if the purpose for Israel was just to disrupt the intelligence gathering ability, and of course, not assuming that would have been a valid objective in advancing Israel's interests, of course, that I'm guessing was accomplished a quarter of the way into the attack. There's no need to sink the ship otherwise. Is that a pretty valid surmise?
Well, no, that's true, but I mean, there's a lot more to it than that. But I mean, the assumption that the Israelis had to knock out the liberty for the ongoing war and the safety of Israel is just not true.
And I
the war was over. The Israelis had won the war, but there were three reasons, in my view, that the Israelis attacked the liberty, and that there was some complicity with our government at the highest levels.
I take it no one's ever argued that America would have been in a position of providing information to anyone other than Israel anyway.
Well, there is that, but I mean,
well, go over the three reasons.
We would not do anything that would harm Israel's interests because we had agreed to the Israeli attack on Egypt because we bought the Israeli argument that Nasser was the key to bringing communism to North Africa and the Middle East.
Well, also,
which was
got,
not true, but
Tito,
that was what was believed.
Tito, days before, you've got the messages to pull the ship out of there, and then those messages are rerouted, and then LBJ could have, anytime he wanted to, called that ship back, but they didn't. They
did
had
not,
the planes
yes.
all painted up. They covered up the insignias. The whole thing was a setup.
Yeah, no, it is outrageous, and it needs to be fully investigated. We don't call for an congressional investigation. It was taken away from the Navy in 67 by the political maneuverings of LBJ.
But go over the 3 points of why.
Okay, all right. In this order, the Israelis knew that they'd won the war by the 6th of June. The fly in the ointment for them taking the Golan Heights and all the West Bank was delivered. That was a very strong reason for the attack. They wanted to get it out of the way. If they could sink it, kill all the survivors, blame it on Egypt, then the second reason would come in. If you remember 11 years prior to that, under the cover of the Hungarian Revolution in 1956, the Israelis, with military and diplomatic help from the English and the French, attacked Egypt. The Israelis had gone all the way to the east bank of the canal. And the United States was not even involved in the decision. We weren't even told about it, but Eisenhower was president. This was an election year, but he was furious. He sailed part of the Sixth Fleet between the English fleet and the Egyptian coastline to get the message, and he ordered the Israelis out of Sinai. They refused, and their propaganda machine kicked up here, but Eisenhower was a man of great courage, and he insisted that they get out, threatened to cut off all aid.
We're out
and
of
all
time.
Support.
Obviously, sink the ship is a pretext to go into Egypt, expand the war.
Okay, yeah, but the argument here is, and it is very clear, is that in 1956, they were forced out of the Sinai because of world public opinion and American political pressure. Now, if the Liberty sank with the loss of all hands and it was blamed on Egypt, number one, it would have been believed, and number two, there wouldn't have been any world public opinion against, and there certainly wouldn't have been any American political pressure.
Well, that's
and the Israelis
what, you know,
would still be in Sinai.
They'd still be in Sinai, and that's what Northwood says. It says by blowing up ships, it will cause a helpful wave of indignation to blame on our enemies. So we understand, and that is so central. So that's the 2 points. What's the third point?
Okay, now you have the three. Okay, now you have to understand the situation of where everything was in 63. The Israelis wanted to build the greater Israel, you know, the Golan Heights, Sinai, West Bank, and all of those things. And if they could bring the United States even into the war from a subjective sense of resupply and so on. So,
well, it's like the Lusitania.
Similar. And, you know, if one looks at all of the preparation that went into this, and we have to remember that this decision had to be made very high up at the time. Levi Eshkol was the prime minister.
And within an hour of the attack going, we already have LBJ knowing all the details.
And ordering us back, although nobody could know it was Israelis, so somebody here had to be involved, had to be people around LBJ.
I'll tell you what, Tito.
And Alex, just one other comment, if I might. We have to remember that at that time, you had Walter Rostow, who was chief of staff and chief security guy, a big Zionist, and his brother, Eugene Rostow, who later was head of American negotiations with the Russians on disarmament. Eugene Rostow was under Secretary of State and in charge of the Mideast desk in the State Department.
Okay, I gotta end it there. Thanks for the call, Roger. Tito Howard, you're going to be back on. with some of the officers and some of the survivors. You can line up three or four of them if you want. You know, every 30 minutes I want to have a different one on for about 2 hours. And
that'll
really
be great. I'm going to try and set it up for Thursday or Friday. I'm meeting with the admirals tomorrow.
Right.
And once I know how that's going, then I'll call Captain Boston. And,
well,
and we'll get you some people Thursday, Friday, Monday latest. But
okay.
We'll coordinate that with you. But call me, if you would, tomorrow evening or early Thursday morning.
Yeah, well, just go ahead when you talk to them, find out what's good for them. Go ahead and try to set them up for Thursday or Friday from noon central on, and we'll do 2 hours on it. And one more time, that mailing address for folks that want to get a copy of Loss of Liberty.
Okay, it's box. At first, it's Liberty Alliance. This is the chairman's, Admiral Moore. It was sent to the Liberty Alliance, box 663, Front Royal, two words, Virginia. That's the capital of the Shenandoah. Front Royal, Virginia, 22630. It's $25 for a single copy, $50 for three.
All right.
Make the check payable to Howard Films.
All right, Howard Films. Tito, thanks for coming on the show.
All right, thank you, Alex, for the opportunity.
You bet, I appreciate it.